All right, thank you everybody for joining us this morning. I really enjoy seeing such a great audience here. My name is Courtney Cuthbertson. I'm currently a postdoctoral fellow at Michigan State University in the North Central Regional Center for Rural Development. And I'm working on a project right now that is funded by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, as well as the United States Department of Agriculture's National Institute for Food and Agriculture, to develop a community warning system for mental illness and substance use. So what I'm presenting to you this morning is just a very small piece of that activity, trying to gauge whether Twitter would be a useful component of such a system. And I will elaborate a bit more. Unfortunately, my co-presenter, Jessica Tass, is not able to be here, but she is here in spirit. So I do like to acknowledge the project partners. The larger project is called CAPE, Community Assessment and Education to Promote Behavioral Health Planning and Evaluation. I'm not sure how they got such a neat acronym out of that, but I would love to work with that person in the future. We do receive funding from SAMHSA and the USDA NIFA, as I mentioned, and the project is run through the Regional Rural Development Centers, primarily out of Michigan State University. We do have community partners at over 20 land-grant institutions across the United States and over 16 participating communities in other aspects of the project. So to give you a bit of an overview, I'll go over the background, kind of our thought process for involving Twitter, our thought process around what a community monitoring system looks like, the methods for this particular part of the project, what we found so far, a little bit of discussion, and then our future directions and recommendations for others who would like to create a similar system. As I mentioned, the current project is part of this larger effort to create a community monitoring system for mental illness and substance use. This component is examining how social media or big data related to social media may be used towards this effort. So the question here that is overarching this small component is how can the content of people's posts help public health officials, concerned citizens, and others to identify, monitor, and help communities struggling with mental illness and substance use. So the focus here is really on the community rather than an individual level of intervention. When I say early warning or community monitoring system, I do use these terms interchangeably. What I'm referring to is a community level syndromic surveillance system that would regularly be able to draw in data across a broad spectrum of sources to be able to aggregate that effectively and monitor for when there might be a particular increase or spike among a specific issue, for instance, depression. Some of these are already in place in various cities and communities across the United States and by the CDC. Most of them focus on infectious disease and bioterrorism. Where we see these in the area of behavioral health is usually around drug overdose issues. But we're trying to be a bit more comprehensive and include things like the prevalence of depression and anxiety. Just as an overview, again, the idea we collect data, we're monitoring what the data are showing us, reporting that to relevant community entities, doing an evaluation, thinking about what intervention strategies might need to be used when an increase is detected, and continuing the cycle of collecting data after that point as well. The significance of this is that evidence-based practice is becoming quite prevalent. The idea that our intervention strategies should be based on something that research has shown to be effective. Along with that, there's been a desire for evidence-informed selection strategies. And what I mean by that is that the data would inform where we go for an intervention, that we need to know what's going on in the population to be able to know where to intervene. The significance of the community monitoring system is that current data, as many of us know, are very well aware, it might lag for several years. The current data on suicide, general mental health, substance use, is from 2013. So our efforts with the community monitoring system are to create something that is much closer to real time, with data that could be updated on a biweekly or monthly basis. So this is where Twitter comes in. This is a very popular social media platform for anyone who's not familiar with Twitter. There are 316 million users that are active monthly. There are many more users that are not active that could be considered lurkers who are reading what other people are posting. Users can put up short messages, which are referred to as tweets, of up to 140 characters. And 500 million tweets are sent daily. That is a huge, huge opportunity in terms of thinking about data and what people are posting to be able to do content mining. Accounts are free. They can be set to public or to private. And users set their own locations. I will mention this is going to become slightly relevant later. Users can also repost messages that others have created themselves, which is called a retweet. Past work on Twitter has found that it does lend itself to viable use for tracking symptoms of infectious disease, such as influenza. Systems like this are already in place, for example, in the city of Chicago for foodborne illness, where the health department is able to auto-reply a tweet back and say, "I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well. Here, fill out this report." Other studies have also shown that patterns in certain language use, word choice, quantity of tweets might indicate depression. So our questions more specifically in doing this work are, what are the proportion of tweets about mental illness that express positive versus negative sentiments? Secondly, what are the trends in the content of tweets that mention specific mental illness terminology? And then more of our discussion question here is, how viable is data mining of Twitter and content analysis of Twitter as part of an early warning or community monitoring system? So the methods for this project, we used an open source software, which is actually an add-on template for Excel. It's called Node Excel. This can download tweets at a specific time based on a word or phrase of interest, and can do some network analysis and provide top words and word pairs in tweets. So we made use of the word and word pair analysis, and you can choose certain words to exclude from that analysis, words like a, of, to. These ones were excluded from our word pairs. What we were looking for in looking at the tweets were people expressing symptom experience. I'm really depressed right now, things like that. Our data were collected once a week at random day and time intervals for 8 weeks. We requested 1,000 tweets for each keyword for each week. We had 26 keywords in total and ended up with over 200,000 tweets. In the Twitter world, that's a very small amount, but for us trying to handle a content analysis, that was quite sufficient. So for our data cleaning process, we removed the retweets, and we also removed tweets that were not in English due to limitations of the research team. We removed retweets because we were looking for individual users' experience, and if someone is retweeting a message, it's not necessarily that they would be experiencing that, but there are making a voice louder of someone who is already posting. And often retweets, like shares on Facebook, are more oriented towards news items than they are about an individual's experience. So our round one search terms are listed here. We have things like anorexia, anxiety, anxious, binge and purge, so some things related to eating disorders, manic depression and manic depressive, although those are not used much clinically anymore, they're still used colloquially quite a bit. OCD, paranoid, PTSD, trauma, and some related to suicide, hopelessness, helpless. So with that list of 26, we conducted a top word and word pair analysis to figure out which would be the best terms to go with for the full analysis, and we eliminated terms based on low expression of symptoms or experience, overuse of slang. That was one thing that really complicated our work, that people use mental illness terms as slang quite frequently, such as the example listed below, the weather is bipolar today. This is something that I have heard quite a bit, and it is put up on social media as well. So those were some reasons that we eliminated terms, and we ended up with nine search terms or nine terms from tweets to explore further. And we whittled down based on a further content analysis of these tweets to finally focus on the word depressed, which seemed to be the best representation of an individual experience. That's where most of the tweets were expressing individual experience rather than sharing news items or slang use. So across the 8 weeks of data, we had 4,009 tweets for the full content analysis. So these are 4,009 tweets that were coded by hand for this first round that we're engaging in, which was approximately 2% of the tweets that we had collected. We drew from qualitative coding techniques from Grounded Theory to do our coding. So getting into some of the findings, what we found in terms of positive and negative sentiment, on average, the tweets had a negative sentiment approximately 77% of the time. This seemed to vary. And what do I mean by positive and negative sentiment? Now that we see that a majority of the tweets are negative, negative tweets include experiencing depression, related symptoms, but also experiencing stigma. People would tweet about having been chastised by people around them for being sad and being depressed. Expressions of stigma towards depression were also coded as negative, so people saying, I can't believe you would be depressed, things like that. Positive tweets, including the word depressed, were very low, only 4.3%. Those included things like encouragement, like, I know that you're depressed right now, but we'll get through it and you can rely on me, things like that. Or a positive outlook towards the future, I'm feeling really sad right now, but I know I can do these things. And then we also included neutral as a category because there were things like news items and lyrics to songs that don't really fit in a positive or negative category. So let's shift now to the trends in the themes that we found. So what we were looking to find how much people expressed personal experience through their tweets. And we found that among the tweets for the word depressed, over half were about some kind of personal experience. And of those, the vast majority were about current rather than past experience. So people are going on Twitter to say, I'm feeling really depressed. So I have some examples to share. Current personal experience represented about 50.6% of the tweets, about 2,000 tweets. Some examples, my thoughts, RN is right now. My thoughts right now are scaring me, so over being depressed, TBH, to be honest. The next one, I'm actually really depressed right now, I want to cry. And then, I don't know when I'll be back, I'm just so depressed right now, I don't know if I'm worth something. So these are some examples of the tweets that were coded as current personal experience. We also had some tweets that represented past experience. This was 2.9%. And examples are things like, remember how depressed I was a year ago? I was so depressed back then. I'm not depressed, but I have been in the past. And finally, when I was depressed, it felt like I was walking through mud all the time. We had another theme, which was general feeling or reaction, that people would say, oh, this happened and I feel so depressed. It's possible that these were slang uses of the word depressed. Excuse me. For example, actually feeling depressed, I finished watching Ugly Betty. We really need that show back. It's questionable that this would mean clinically depressed. It probably doesn't. But this is an emotional reaction to something in this person's life. And the last one I think really represents the possibility that these would be slang. I just went, I'm depressed that I'm not there, and some sad face emojis if you can't see those in the back. It's so hard to come back, ha ha ha. Approximately 6.1% of the tweets were about providing resources, advice, or strategies. So asking people, oh, are you lonely and depressed? There's hope and healing, follow our link. About 5% of the tweets were about information, education, or social critique, which was very interesting. So some things about, oh, research shows in 20 minutes, moderate exercise helps you think better, and never ignore anyone's cries for help. If someone's sad or depressed, just talk to them, you never know. And finally, depression and sadness are not interchangeable. You don't just feel depressed today because something upset you. So this is someone's, we categorize that as a social critique statement about the way that people use that terminology. Stigma and slang use explicitly made up 6.5% of the tweets. For example, someone said, "It's too nice outside for you people to be depressed, and you can't be depressed. Look at how happy you always are." There were some that were unrelated to mental health. As you can imagine, depressed also refers to economic outcomes. So we did have a code for that just to see what we're dealing with, and we're thinking about incorporating this as part of an early warning system. So in terms of how viable this might be, we did find that current symptom experience was expressed for each of the 26 keywords that we originally looked at, but it really varies by keyword how much of the use of that word is about current symptom experience. Over half of the tweets for the word depressed were about personal experiences. Most of those were current, but this is probably the word that had the best outcome in that regard for what we were looking for, to try to find current experience expression. And slang use does complicate the interpretation of the tweets. Some limitations of this: data was not collected continuously. It can be. You can stream data through Twitter's API and download it. Demographic and geographic data were not analyzed, although they will be in subsequent steps. Slang use, as I mentioned, is a limitation. We have a limited pool of Twitter users. We were only pulling on a particular keyword, so we don't have a sense of what this represents in terms of the larger pool of Twitter users. We also know that Twitter users tend to be younger and demographically diverse. And an additional limitation, stigma and symptom experience might actually stop people from posting. So there are reasons why people may not engage online or may not even have a Twitter account. So for future directions and recommendations, we're turning to a machine learning approach using natural language processing to automate the coding process. We are going to be continuously collecting data and then using the geocoding to compare against other data to see if the experience of Twitter users match the general population, using things like the behavioral risk factor surveillance system, and then thinking about developing intervention techniques such as an automated response tweet or perhaps some kind of pop-up chat box that would go to a suicide hotline or other type of intervention strategy. So thank you very much. Thank you.